Hello and all welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight in association with freesupertips.com, your go-to place for football betting tips. It's Jack Reeve, it's Mark Langdon to guide you through this week's action. Mark, let's just jump straight into it, shall we? A busy week ahead. There has been midweek action in the EFL, a couple of Champions League games. I'm sure you're busy as always. Let's try and see the ball big today and take a look at our big match. It's Manchester City against Chelsea. It's 5:30 on Saturday. Man City 3's on, 9-2 the draw, 7-1 Chelsea. I think I've asked this question more than most this season, Mark, but what are the expectations for Chelsea now? I mean, watch their game against Crystal Palace. At times they look frightening going forwards. At times they looked clueless. I know they came out with the victory. This is a slightly different test.
Yeah, first of all, I know why you want to speed it up. It's because we're doing this on the Wednesday, aren't we? Valentine's Day, Jack, a Lothario like you've probably got loads on. I'm all for speeding things up. When Roy Hodgson gets the sack, we can maybe discuss that. But until then, in terms of, I've forgotten the question, but in terms of Chelsea, I think they are basically just playing out the Premier League season, and their whole campaign is going to be determined by what they do in the two cup competitions that they're in. Of course, they've got the final against Liverpool in the Carabao Cup, last 16 of the FA Cup. They'll expect to go and reach the quarterfinals. And against Crystal Palace, that first half performance, it sort of sent me to sleep almost. It was so dull. They were a lot of possession, no penetration within that. And they didn't look like they could be bothered to, like, you know what I mean? They just sort of turned up. Oh, we'll have a kick about. Second half, when they sort of put their foot to the pedal, got the quick equaliser, the goals came late, but, they were at least pushing. And it's still hard to know what they are. I agree with Pochettino when he says, that not only are they a young team in terms of the players, it's a young team that's just been thrown together. And you can see that lack of cohesion, the lack of plan, I would say, as well. But against that, they have moments in sort of matches or in sort of spells of matches where just their sheer quality will come through. And you can go through the team. You go, well, Enzo Fernandez, he's won a World Cup. Madueke on the wing, lot of talent. Cole Palmer come from City and is showing up well this season. Thiago Silva, I know he's getting old, but he's still somebody that's got quality. The fullbacks, whether it's Gusto or James or Chilwell or whoever, they have got, what was it, 100 million on Caicedo. They've got good players. So they will have moments, but against Manchester City, if you kind of don't take the whole game seriously, you'll be on the wrong end of a result. This was a brilliant game, wasn't it, earlier on in the season? Mm. Do you remember Cole Palmer got the late equaliser, didn't he? And they were able to sort of put put it in for the entire match. But we haven't seen that too often. And the problem is, if you can't, that was 4-4, wasn't it, on that occasion. If you kind of doze off against City, they will just kill you in the final third.
I guess it's, almost how long's a piece of string, but how long do you allow a head coach and their surrounding kind of people to get that cohesion bang on? Because as you say, the money's being spent. It's not a lack of resource here. There will be frustration around the place.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he used to manage Tottenham is another reason why, that's going to make it harder for Pochettino to connect with the Chelsea fans. I felt like he should have got more stick. I wrote about it a couple of weeks ago, actually, that I was surprised by how little stick Pochettino was getting from kind of the outside media. Then they lost at Wolves and it really started to build on him. And then since
it's your
then,
fault, Mark.
Yeah,
you created the pylon.
Yeah, but then since then, obviously got a great result in the FA Cup at Aston Villa. That's really, like I say, the cups are very important to them. Then they've won against Crystal Palace. It wasn't an amazing performance, but they have won a tricky London derby. This is the type of game, though, that tells you where Chelsea are and where they're, as I think when we get to the tip, how far off the top teams that they really are, particularly away from home when the chips are down. At home at Stamford Bridge, they've done okay in a lot of these games. Obviously, got that 4-4 against City. They drew with Liverpool. They drew against Arsenal as well. Then I look at them away from home. Like that 4-1 against Liverpool was a joke of a performance. Liverpool played well, but, you know, and that was Chelsea, in my eyes, not sort of taking the game seriously and trying to stroll through it. And, yeah, they were hammered at Newcastle as well, weren't they, 4-1? So I think they've got a lot to prove away from home against, you know, the best team in the world.
I think the word for both Manchester City and, you know, Haaland and De Bruyne is inevitable at this stage. They sort of get in situations that, you know, they fail to break through after 45 minutes at the weekend. And you just go, oh, we'll probably see this out 2 or 3 nil. And that's exactly what happened. Haaland back on the score sheet. What's it going to take for them to be stopped now?
I suppose an injury again to De Bruyne or Haaland, but particularly De Bruyne. Because I know that Haaland scores all the goals. Alvarez is a fairly decent number two in the forward area. But De Bruyne, I mean, since he's come back, he's been just magnificent. Even when he's, you know, that goal against Copenhagen where he gets the assist for Bernardo Silva's goal. I mean, he miscontrols it and he still ends up with the assist because he wins the tackle. Scored one goal. The reverse pass for Phil Foden for the third goal is absolute quality. The pass to Haaland for the second one against Everton. You know, City have got a lot of good players, and Foden and Bernardo Silva and Rodri and Doku. You know, they can all do different things, but De Bruyne does all of them things all in one go. And so the fact that he's coming into this part of the season fresh, it's got to be a massive concern for everybody else. But I never fear City as much, you know, as somebody that's maybe looking to take them on as a punter or even as a, you know, as a Tottenham fan when we play Man City. When De Bruyne's not there, you always feel like you've got more of a chance of beating them. So I think a De Bruyne injury could be the kind of what might derail City. And let's face it, he's getting older. He's had a fair few problems now. For his own personal well-being, it's such a shame that he's got injured in both Champions League finals. And I think he'll be desperate to show that, you know, he's good to go for, you know, the really important, was it last 13, 14 Premier League games, plus the FA Cup and Champions League.
Well, Manchester City are heavy favourites for this, Mark. What's your bet for the game?
Man City -1 on the handicap. So City to win by 2 or more goals against Copenhagen on Tuesday. Another just destroyed. A decent side in Copenhagen and done well up until that point. Chelsea have conceded 40 goals this season. Brentford, Fulham and Wolves have conceded 39. Luton have only conceded 45. I think that defence just gets a big working over. City scored 4 last time against them. Chelsea were able to match that 4. I don't think they'll be getting anything like that at the Etihad. So, yeah, City to win easily.
OK, let's move through the rest of the Premier League fixtures now.
Members Club is now available on the Racing Post app. All Members Club subscribers can now access premium news and tips anytime, anywhere. Plus, if you're not already a member, you'll get 50% off your first 3 months. If you haven't already subscribed yet and want to join the greatest club in racing, simply visit racingpost.com/subscribe.
The early kickoff on Saturday sees Brentford hosting Liverpool, 9-2 Brentford, 16-5 the draw, 3-5 Liverpool. It felt like an important result for Liverpool against Burnley, Mark, didn't it? I mean, the disappointing result and performance against Arsenal, and to battle their way through against Burnley, it was far from an easy, and they got a working, but they just, you know, to still cope without Mo Salah, I think that's mentally more promising than anything else.
Yeah, it was a strange game against Burnley because if you look at the highlights, it always felt like they were comfortable and would win the game. Mm. And yet, like, Fofana's had a couple of, you know, really big chances. But Liverpool were missing even more players. Alisson went down with sickness, doesn't he? I think that unsettled them maybe defensively. Saw pictures, and we're speaking on Wednesday, saw pictures this morning, Mohamed Salah back in training. So I don't know if he'll be available for this game against Brentford, but he's not far away. be a major fillip when he returns to the starting 11. And I actually thought Liverpool were a fair enough price to win this game at 8-13. City, when they went to Brentford the other Monday night, had 15 shots on target, 72% possession. And I know that sort of there's this traditional thinking about Brentford being strong at home. They've lost to Arsenal, lost to Aston Villa, they've lost to Man City, Liverpool. Yeah, I thought they'd actually be shorter than 8-13 to win this game. If Salah comes back, expect that price to shorten. But I think that Liverpool are capable of winning this one with or without their Egyptian king.
Okay, let's move on to the Saturday 3 o'clock. So we shall start with Burnley against Arsenal. 17-2 Burnley, 17-4 the draw, 1-3 Arsenal. Will I describe it as a shocking result at the weekend for Arsenal? I mean, a great result for Arsenal. Shocking in terms of West Ham. They just collapsed, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, it was shocking in that I was shocked by how easy it was for Arsenal. I tipped Arsenal to win by one goal and was saying that, you know, it could be an awkward away game. Since their mini winter break, Arsenal been firing on all cylinders, haven't they? You know, they backed up that Liverpool performance. And again, you know, I didn't think Liverpool played well at the Emirates. And I don't think West Ham played well at the London Stadium. There comes a point where you say, well, is that just Arsenal sort of, you know, putting the squeeze on and, you know, just dominating and therefore, you know, making them look bad? Hard to say exactly, but they funked Crystal Palace as well, didn't they? Mm. Even against Nottingham Forest, I know Forest scored late and that 2-1, in my opinion, looked closer on paper than it actually was in the game. Always felt like the Gunners were in control. I mean, look, at 1-3, I think Arsenal will win, but they can win at 1-3, and I'm not going to sort of kick myself for not backing them. I just don't think Burnley have got the sort of defensive minerals to be able to cope with Arsenal in a way of trying to sort of eke out a more interesting bet. I looked at Gabriel to score first, 20-1 each way. If you have a look at it, Arsenal are the set-piece kings this season. They've scored 16 goals from set pieces and moved Declan Rice on to taking the corners and free kicks, and it worked against West Ham. Burnley have conceded 12 and were shocking. To use your word, Jack, in defending set pieces against Liverpool. James Trafford might be a good goalkeeper in time, but looking shaky at the moment, particularly when balls come into the box. And then if you have a look at Gabriel, he's had 19 attempts this season. 7 of those have been on target. That's actually more attempts on target than Kai Havertz has had. And he's been chipping in with goals as well. So yeah, 20-1 each way. Thought he might give you a run for your money.
What a stat that is. Let's move on to Fulham against Aston Villa. 19-10, the home side. 11-4, the draw. 6-5, Aston Villa. How are we playing this one?
Yeah, I think Fulham overpriced to win at home. 7 home wins for them this season. That includes, you know, beating Arsenal not that long ago and deservedly so. I think probably Fulham are the team I've got most wrong this season, just in terms of I feel like on the Betts Club, I'm quite negative about them. And actually, look at their results. They're doing just fine under Marco Silva. Aston Villa will be hurting after that defeat, you know, against, obviously, first of all, Chelsea in the FA Cup, then lost to Manchester United, as well as losing to United in the Premier League. Kamara has gone down with a serious knee injury, and that's a big problem for them. He's the defensive shield in that team. He's missed 4 Premier League games this season. They've conceded 8 goals in those 4 matches. And 2 of the matches were against Sheffield United and Burnley. So that would concern me, I think, in terms of Aston Villa and their Champions League push. Don't think they've got another player like him in the team. And they might really be wobbling after this trip to West London.
It does always feel, doesn't it, Mark? You know, you get these sides that you maybe didn't expect to be in with a top 4 shout, you know, for a point in this season, kind of battling out at the top spot. It always feels like squad depth is what it comes down to in the end. We chatted about it, didn't we? If you lose, you know, Man City lose with De Bruyne, I know they take a hit, but they've got, you know, some form of replacement for him. If Villa lose one of their better players, it becomes incredibly difficult.
It does, yeah. I mean, Conte's out at the moment, and that's impacted them because Matty Cash isn't as good, particularly defensively, as what Conte is. Obviously, Tyrone Mings has being out. You see like Longley at centre half in a back four. I think he's vulnerable in that position for sure. And if you know, Aston Villa, I felt like had been going up when a lot of teams around them were having injury problems or, you know, absentee issues, you know, Tottenham and Manchester United being the two sort of examples. Villa were able to kind of go on that really good run. And now they're getting that at just a time when United and Spurs are getting a lot of their players back. So it might be a nervous finish. We don't know if it'll be four or five teams in the Champions League. I think Villa might need that comfort blanket of a fifth one. And then they need to decide, do they try to go all out for finishing in the Champions League spot, or do they need to have one eye on the Europa Conference League? And, you know, those games are going to get busy for them, whereas Tottenham and United have got one real target in place at the moment, and that's Champions League.
Yeah, getting to that frantic stage in the season. Newcastle-Bournemouth, the game we'll preview next. 5-6, the home side. 16-5, the draw. 3-1. Bournemouth-Newcastle odds on at home. Is that a price you'll be taking?
It is, actually. I thought they might have been shorter. If you have a look at Newcastle, they've played seven games in 2024. They've scored at least two goals in all of them. And Bournemouth, yeah, I've been a big champion of them so far. But actually, if you look at their last five Premier League games, they lost to Tottenham and Liverpool. That can happen. They also lost at Fulham. They've been conceding a lot of goals, 10 goals in those five games. The 1-1 draws against West Ham and Nottingham Forest. I mean, they played pretty well at West Ham, but West Ham are in a sticky spot, aren't they, at the moment? Couldn't beat Nottingham Forest at home. But yeah, they're probably not doing as well now as what they were kind of a month ago, when I think this might have been a more difficult game for Newcastle. So I'll go for a home win.
Okay, Nottingham Forest against West Ham United, 11-8 Forest, 5-2 the draw, 19-10 West Ham. How do you bounce back from the performance at the weekend, Mark? You know, Arsenal, great side, obvious quality, but even at sort of 2-0, you thought there's no hope that they'd get back into this.
Oh, I thought they were about as bad a performance as you could get from a Premier League team. The goal that was the one that Saka scored, where he sort of came in off the flank from the Odegaard pass. And like, I don't know what, like, Johnson, I don't know what Johnson's doing. He's sort of over-covering Ben White. Emerson makes no real kind of attempt. It was a dreadful performance from West Ham. Actually, the Racing Post Sport team had been at a night out on the Thursday at Fair Game in Canary Wharf, the place where it's got all, like, the retro games from the fair. So I think we spoke about it, didn't we, last week? You know, Donkey Derby and all this stuff. Well, Kevin Nolan was in there. He's on the West Ham bench, isn't he? I don't know. He's on the Moyes coaching staff. He was in there when we were in there on the Thursday. I would say not getting hammered, but he was just in there with some mates. I think he sort of resides in sort of East London, lives in East London.
There must be something about West Ham staff and Racing Post staff, Mark, because for our former producer, Will Carey's do in the Fountain and Ink, David Moyes was throwing a few jars back in there.
Yeah, so maybe they need to spend a bit more time on the tactics board. For this game, actually, you feel like there's got to be a response, don't you, from West Ham. So I'm looking at Agar to 40-1 he is each way first goal scorer. It was him or Zuma, but Agar has had, I was going to say I'm a cat lover, so I refuse to back Zuma. The truth of it is that Agar has just had more shots. He's had 13 compared to Zuma's 11. But Forest, worst team in the league from defending set pieces. 15 goals they've conceded from set pieces. And West Ham, okay, didn't work out for them against Arsenal. But with Ward-Prowse in the side, you expect free kicks, corners to be delivered well. So, that might be an avenue to exploit in what looked like a tricky game for me.
Spurs against Wolves, 4-7 Spurs, 15-4 the draw, 4-1 Wolverhampton Wanderers. Your heart must be aging this year, Mark. I mean, they've put you through it, haven't they?
Yeah, it's the third time I've been at the Spurs Stadium for I think that was the earliest of the three injury time winners, that 97th minute. And they had about 100 minutes, weren't it, against Liverpool and Sheffield United. It was an intriguing game. Spurs were really poor in the first half, improved after the break. I think they just about deserved the win. I'm going to go for Tottenham to win this game and both teams to score. I don't want to take Tottenham to just win because they're nearly evens against Brighton and they're like 4-7 against Wolves and doesn't feel like there's that much of a difference between Wolves and Brighton. But in terms of sort of Tottenham winning and both teams to score, that has landed in 7 of Spurs' 9 home wins. So we wait and see on the injury news. Huang and Cunha have been injured for Wolves. If they're missing both of those, that is a blow. But they've still got other attackers that can at least sort of hit Spurs on the break and sort of get a consolation goal. I say consolation. Most of Tottenham's wins have been kind of on the nervier end, haven't they? So it might be a sort of 2-1 or a 3-2 or something like that. But yeah, I'm going to the game and expecting another Tottenham win, but not necessarily a blowaway victory.
I mean, you've been going to Spurs games all your life, Mark. Is this one of the most enjoyable periods you can remember?
Yeah, absolutely is. The football is very attacking, easy on the eye. Everybody's pulling in the same direction. I'm trying to think. I mean, under Poch, there was a time under Poch when we were seriously good, and that was equally enjoyable. But it certainly beats the days of when Pleaty was in charge second time around for the caretaker role and Jack Santini and Christian Gross. Yeah, I'll take Big Ange over those.
You've got to have those times, though, Mark, to realise how bad it can be. Someday,
as bad as it can be, they're still a Premier League team. But being being dross in the Premier League, I think, is one of the worst places to be. Because, like, you know, too good to go down, but, you know, just hanging around 13th or 14th. like you just, there's just nothing to look forward to, is there?
No, I'd take a 13th place finish in the Premier League every day of the week. Sunday, 2 o'clock, Sheffield United against Brighton, 15-4 Sheffield United, 16-5 the draw, 13-20 Brighton. What did you make of Brighton, Mark? Because they've been one of those teams, haven't they, this season that we've kind of struggled to pinpoint exactly where they're at.
It's so hard to work out. I mean, there are moments in games where they're so good. I mean, they play out from the goalkeeper, a lot of teams do, but they're different in that they wait for you to press you in your penalty box and they like dare themselves to be able to beat that press. And when they do beat the press, you look stupid and the team gets, James Maddison referenced it after the game, like you get pulled apart by them at times. And like the crowd get frustrated because it feels like it should be easy and you feel like you can nick it off them. But when they sort of move it through the press, they're a classy side. Welbeck holds the ball up well. Mitoma, I thought, was fantastic. You know, some of his touches were unreal. And then
it's got a little bit quiet, hasn't he? I mean,
He's been injured in Asian Cup and stuff like that. I think he'll be back now. He looked sort of back to his best, but agree, probably not at the standards we saw last season, but still a fantastic player. Van Hecker, the centre half, wasn't somebody I knew sort of too much about. Really appreciated his performance when you go live and you see how brave he is, and sort of he was pressing Maddison so high up the pitch and nullified Maddison most of the time, although then got dragged out of position for the winning goal. And that's the football, isn't it, at De Zerbi? They're brave and they sort of dare to win, but in doing that you can lose games. I don't think they'll lose this game. I think they'll win. I'm going to go for Brighton to win and over 2.5 goals. All 9 of Brighton wins in the Premier League this season have featured at least 3 goals. It was 5-2 in the FA Cup last month at Bramall Lane, victory for Albion. And Sheffield United take some hidings, 5-0, 8-0. They lost, that was against, obviously, wasn't Newcastle and Aston Villa. 5-0 hiding at Burnley as well. Got a crucial win at Luton last week. But I think Brighton, if Brighton play like they did against Tottenham, it'd be a long 90 minutes, I think, for the Blades.
Okay. 4:30 Sunday, Luton hosting Manchester United. 3-1 Luton, 3-1 the draw, 4-5 Manchester United. It's funny, isn't it, Mark? I think we spoke about when Luton hosted Liverpool towards the start of the season. We were like, this could be the shortest price that any sort of Premier League team has gone off. And now Manchester United sort of hovering around even money. It's a remarkable kind of turn of events for Luton.
Yeah, obviously had the blow last week against Sheffield United, but I think it is difficult when you're an underdog and all of a sudden you're a favourite. Just your mindset is different, and it doesn't always just work out. I think this is an intriguing game. I do fancy Manchester United, but Luton have given enough of the big teams problems for me not to want to back United at the prices. A similar one to backing United to win. I'm going to go for both teams to score an over 2.5 goals. Happened in 8 of Luton's last 11 Premier League games. And they've got a threat up front, Luton. Make no mistake about that. I know it's not the prettiest. 24 shots on target in their last 4 home league games. Like, they just will keep putting the ball in the box. Doherty on that left wing, cross after cross after cross. Mm. I think it's going to be an uncomfortable 90 minutes for United. They've got the quality themselves in, Fernandes and Garnacho and Hoyland, who's now run himself into a bit of form to probably win the game. But I prefer the goals angle.
Okay, Monday Night Football, Everton hosting Crystal Palace, 7-10 Everton, 13-5 the draw, 17-4 Crystal Palace. If we're looking at moods around Premier League football clubs, Mark, I mean, Crystal Palace's fan base must be the lowest of the lot, aren't they?
I would say so, yeah, because, Sheffield United probably expected to be in this position. Burnley, I think their fans are keeping faith with Vincent Kompany and him sort of being able to take them up again next season. You've got Everton fans that are sort of buoyed really by that's probably the wrong word, but they're kind of, if not buoyed, they're kind of, I think, been inspired by that points deduction to kind of drag the team forward. In terms of, I'm sort of joining the Palace fans, because did you watch both of these FA Cup games that they played recently? There was a 0-0, wasn't there, no, at Selhurst, and then a 1-0.
Was that the Friday, like Thursday night or Friday night?
Yeah,
Thursday
night was 0-0. And then,
I think I skipped it for like a repeat of the chase or something.
Yeah. What's her name? Fanny, whatever she was called.
Fanny Speller.
Bradley Walsh will forever be reminded of. I think I'd rather watch the chase than this. I'm going to go for Everton to win and under 3.5 goals. It's a big game, let's make no mistake. One that I think Everton will feel like they've got a much better chance of winning, coming off a hard run of games. Didn't really have much chance at City last week. So I'm going to go for Everton to win and under 3.5 goals. No Elise, no Eze, probably no Gueye either for Crystal Palace. I think it just leaves them with too much to do. With a team that, take them out of it. I've said it last week, Championship team.
Yeah, completely agree. That's your Premier League card, Mark. Now let's get you clued up with all things EFL. If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/freebets and there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/freebets. Well, we've already had some midweek action in the EFL. It's always a busy time for people like Aaron Ashley who are following the action. Let's start with the team in focus. Bolton Wanderers going very nicely indeed.
That's correct, Jack. Yeah, after finishing 9th and 5th in the last 2 League One campaigns, they're in a strong position to make their Championship return. Ian Everett's side currently sit 3rd. They're 7 points behind leaders Portsmouth. But they do have 3 games in hand, so they would appear to be Pompey's chief title rivals ahead of Derby. Bolton, they were 2-1 winners at home to Wickham on Tuesday, which means they've lost only one of the last 10, and 7 of those fixtures have resulted in victory. That shows they're getting stronger. They're not shying away from the challenge. And I think last season's narrow miss in the playoffs will set them up well for the end of the season. They actually showed their resilience in a 1-1 draw with Northampton last weekend. And that was a game that I actually attended. And they deservedly trailed 1-0 at halftime, and they were down to 10 men. So I was kind of worried and kind of didn't know how they'd get back into that match, to be fair. I say worried. I was a Northampton fan. I was quite happy to see them not get back into that match. But a change in shape and a couple of substitutes worked the trick. And Carlos Mendes Gomez, who was one of Everett's substitutes, he grabbed the equaliser. And it just showed a fight that they're going to pick up points pretty much in, I'd say, a lot of their games to the end of the season from here to now. And even when they're losing and they're up against it, a man down, they still dominated the end of that game, dictated the way it was played. And I'd say there's a lot to like about them. They play a 3-1-4-2 formation under Everett. They've got loads of height and a lot of physicality at the back. They've got some really good ball players in midfield, such as Josh Sheehan and Cole Dempsey. And then they've got so much pace at front, most notably Dion Charles, who's their leading scorer. I'd say what separates them from the rest, though, is their squad depth. He can make so many changes and it not have an impact at all on how they play. They made six changes on Tuesday night against Wickham from the team that played against Northampton, and they won 2-1. They didn't even need to use Sheehan. He's the man that makes them tick in midfield. He didn't even need to come on. They've got Calvin Ramsey on loan from Liverpool. He's highly rated. He didn't need to come on either. And I'd say it's pretty rare for a League One side to be able to make so many changes and not weaken them, which I think is going to set them up nicely for this busy schedule at the end. They're 3-1 to win the title. And I'd say with three games in hand over Portsmouth, I've obviously got seven points to make up. But I'd still say that represents value in what is looking a three-horse race now with Peterborough slipping up.
So I'm gonna chuck you a curveball here, Aaron. This wasn't on the run order, so apologies. We're getting to that point in the season now where people are probably starting to look at their anti-post multiples. So if we're assuming Bolton going well and could potentially win League One, who do you think are the likely winners for the Championship and League Two?
I'd say it's going to be a struggle to catch Leicester in the Championship. They've just got so much depth, so much quality, so much Premier League quality. And obviously Southampton slipping up last night did not help their cause. And in League Two, I am on Stockport and I would love to stick with Stockport. But Mansfield's 9-2 mauling of Harrogate yesterday, they had 23 shots in that game. It shows basically that on their day, I think they can beat anyone. And I think they're going to finish the season strongly. And I'd say if anyone's getting involved now, it'd be Mansfield.
Yeah, such quality throughout the EFL this season. Three selections for this weekend. Who's the first?
That's correct. Derby at home to Stevenage at 10-11 in League One of the first one. Derby, they're obviously still in the League One title shake-up alongside Portsmouth and Bolton. But I think they're a shade of odds on. I think they're a good bet at home to Stevenage, who are starting to falter. They slipped out of the playoff places following a three-game winless run. And they were beaten 3-2 at home to Bristol Rovers on Tuesday evening. They led that game 2-0. And prior to that, they drew 2-2 at Port Vale on Saturday, which is another disappointing result for a team chasing the playoffs. The Rams, they responded well to Saturday's 1-1 draw at Shrewsbury with a 3-0 win at Exeter, which means they've lost only two of their last 18 matches and they are also in excellent nick. Borough have lost only five of their 16 away games this term, but they've been beaten on trips to Portsmouth, Barnsley and Bolton, who alongside Derby are the three teams also in the top four. So I expect Derby to get the job done there.
Okay, that's the first pick. Who's up next?
Cheltenham to beat Port Vale at 23-20. This is a massive game in the scrap for survival in League One. Obviously, Cheltenham are third from bottom and Port Vale are fourth from bottom. But I think home advantage can make all the difference in this one. The Robins were woeful at the start of the season and it's amazing. It's credit to them that they're actually in a position to stay up now the way they started. They've lost only two of the last 10 home league games and that run includes wins over Portsmouth and a draw with Derby, who are obviously two of League One's high flyers. That highlights their improvement. And on Tuesday, they produced one of their performances of the season, I'd say. They defeated playoff chasing Blackpool 2-0 at home and actually won the shots on target count 8-1 there. Port Vale aren't in Blackpool's league, and while Darren Moore's appointment might string about some improvement for Vale, they are winless in six, and this is a tough time to be going for going to Cheltenham, who have recorded back-to-back wins now against Cambridge and Blackpool.
Convincing argument. Third and final pick for this weekend.
And then I'm going to go for Crewe at home to Harrogate at 17-20. Obviously, Harrogate, they've just suffered a 9-2 mauling at Mansfield. Three-day turnaround is not what they need, and especially a trip to Crewe, who are third in League Two, and they're going really well. They'll be full of confidence. They've just won 3-1 at Stockport on Tuesday night, the League Two leaders. So they should be confident. And although that Harrogate defeat came a bit out of the blue because they had been unbeaten in six, Mansfield had 23 shots in that game. Their away game prior to that, they did draw 1-1 at Stockport. But again, Stockport, they were wasteful. They had 20 shots. So Crewe, full of confidence. I expect them to add to Harrogate's misery there, Jack.
Great stuff, Aaron. Thank you very much.
Nice one. Thank you, mate.
Big thanks to Aaron for his thoughts on the EFL. Time to get some of Mark's best bets for this weekend. Where shall we start this week, Mark?
Well, we're going to start with some props. I think it's a bit early in the week for the bet builder. That was the problem with doing this a day earlier than normal. So just a couple to keep an eye on. One of them, I've already referenced him, actually. Matty Cash. I'm going to go for him to be carded at 13-5. Been booked 9 times this season, up against William at Craven Cottage. Very tricky customer, William's having a... I thought he was finished about 5 years ago, but he really is having a real renaissance. And he's somebody that will just keep on taking cash on. I think you often go cash or card, don't you? I'm going to go for cash to be carded this week. And then in terms of the game I'm going to on Saturday, I'm going to go for Neto to have a shot on target. So that's at 4-6. He's had at least one in five of his last six starts. Obviously, Wolves might be missing some other players in their forward line. Neto is quality player. And what we know from Tottenham is that they do push those fullbacks on, leave space in behind. And I think that Neto will look to take advantage. Whether he can score or not, you never know. But I do like him to have a shot on target.
Yeah, nice call. Time for a treble for this weekend.
Yeah, the one last week at 7-2, that it came in with that Spurs goal.
Double celebrations.
Treble celebrations when Johnson tapped in. So this week, going to go for Liverpool to beat Brentford. I know it's sort of seen as a hard place to go, but Brentford's home form this season hasn't been anything to get too excited about. And I expect Liverpool to follow up their win over Burnley. Brighton to beat Sheffield United. They've already beaten them in the FA Cup, expecting to double up. I'm going to go for Everton to beat Crystal Palace, because Palace, without their main men, and particularly the two guys in the forward area, Lise and Eze, just difficult to see where the goals come from. I mean, it was just, Lerma sort of smashed one in, didn't he, on Monday night. I mean, you can't keep relying on him to do that. So, Liverpool, Brighton and Everton.
Did you see the chat around Ivan Toney's new tattoo?
Well, I saw he had one. Was it him?
Yeah. So, do you know the reason behind it?
He was trying to remember who he was backing to score first.
he looks at it and it reminds him that he's the man. And I just thought, imagine if either of us got him tattooed on their arm, walked into the local pub and we were asked what that's all about. And we said, you'd get knocked out.
You would. I mean, I suppose, Tony, I mean, I'd back Tony in a fight against either of us. Or maybe he's a strange old character,
both
Tony.
Of us. I reckon both of us.
I'd still back Tony to take us down. Strange old character. He's got a lot of belief in himself, hasn't he, Ivan Tony? I don't think he's taken enough responsibility for him missing the games that he did. Some questionable comments when he came back about potentially leaving the club. He's a very good footballer. And I hope from an England point of view that Gareth Southgate does take him to the Euros. I think he deserves to go. It's just whether he's the right person in the squad. Maybe he's got this different persona on the kind of outside to the to when he's in a group, or maybe there is just an arrogance to him that is kind of what you need to be successful at the highest level. I think he's an absolutely fantastic player. But the nap this week, going against Ivan Toney, I'm going for Liverpool, 8-13, top of the table. I think the Arsenal game was a blip, and we've also got to respect that the Gunners, if you pardon the pun, are going great guns at the moment. So, no shame in losing to Arsenal. This is a different game, a different test for Liverpool, one that I think that they're more than capable of standing up to and then just getting that quality in the final third. So many different options they've got there to win the game.
Do you think it will be a case of kind of managing Salah's minutes on the return, or do you think they'll just throw him in the deep end?
No, I mean, whether he's back or not, we don't know. But I think they will have to manage it. You don't want him to be ruled out for the season. And when you've got Jota, when you've got Luis Diaz, when you've got Darwin Nunez, who, don't forget, missed the start of that game against Arsenal, I think you can afford to be cautious. So, this bet is sort of with or without Salah.
Okay, what have you got planned for the rest of the week, Mark? Still early, can't we? Still a long way to go. Usually this is Thursday and I'm looking towards the weekend.
I mean, I'm glad you've moved it ahead to the weekend so quickly. The main aspect of it will be Tottenham's 2-1 victory over Wolves with a 99th minute winner from, I don't know, we'll go for Son this week, yeah.
Great stuff, Mark. Thanks very much. Big thanks to Aaron as well. A big thanks to everyone, whether you've listened or watched on YouTube. A huge thank you. Remember, if you're backing any of Mark's selections, then do so with money that you can afford to lose. We'll be back next week for another episode of Mark Langdon's Bets Club.